Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Foyle, Arms and Hogger with us in studio. Welcome, lads.
Yay. Hey, hello.
Actually, I have a fully written intro, which I'll give you.
Oh, okay. Please do. We insist upon this one, actually.
My guests this morning are a trio of Irish comedians who have toured the world with their sketches with over a billion views online. Greedy.
A little bit more now.
Massive on YouTube, but it's on... Oh, it's more, is it? But it's on stage. This is true. It's on stage where you are absolutely peerless, and it's kind of ridiculous how well that's all done. Whether it's on Vicar Street, the London Palladium, or Carnegie Hall. Celebrity fans, including Woody Harrelson, Emma Thompson, and Blackadder himself. Oh, thank God, there's things to talk about later. And they're going out on your biggest world tour to date.
Yes. I guess it is.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It's slowly growing.
You must have no lines outside of comedy, do you? So, welcome. How are you keeping?
We're good. Great. Yeah, thanks so much for having us on.
I said at the start, you literally have been doing this since the crash era, haven't you?
We 2009, we've been going.
Yeah, we took advantage of the financial crisis to launch a comedy career.
Actually caused it in order to make comedy go up.
Yeah, the conspiracy theorists are out there, but yeah.
And so do your fans all refer to you as Foyle, Arms and Hogg?
Pretty much.
Will you get the odd Sean?
I get the odd one. I mean, we try and keep it with Foyle, Arms and Hogg. And then I think you want a deep dive to get to our real names. I did have one a couple of years ago. I was with some friends. We were hiking through the German Alps, right? Yeah. Just like that, you know, no one for miles around kind of thing. And then we see like people walking on the trail towards us. And then this dude just stops as he comes up to us. He goes, "Oh my God, Sean Finnegan from Foyle, Arms and Hogg." I was like,
your
my friends
full
were like,
name.
"Oh man, come on, dude." I was like taking selfies and loved it. This is meant to be to get away from it all. I was like, no, I loved it.
I thought he would at least just try Sean, because you can be right at least two times out of three.
Yeah, that's true.
That's Sean Connery, Sean.
Yeah.
So you're getting that kind of fan. But you've kept your personal lives away entirely from online, which is a unique thing, isn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a personal life. There's nothing going on.
I've seen the tour dates. Yeah, you definitely do.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, we looked at other people, you know, who maybe put their personal lives to the fore a little bit more, and like, their lives are just way more interesting.
Definitely.
Like, proper interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't have it.
Not enough drama.
Yeah. I feel very vanilla sometimes in interviews. You know?
Yeah.
But that's
if you want to reveal things today, you know.
You're a good guy, okay?
Thank you. It's not enough in this crazy world to be a good guy.
The CD past of Foyle, Arms and Hogg revealed.
That's Arms and Hogg chatting, and then at the end there was Foyle. Do I need to keep name checking the whole way through? No, just keep chatting.
Just attribute anything to everybody.
Yep. So you all met. You went to college together, didn't you? But separate courses.
Yeah, across the road, UCD.
UCD. Yeah, okay,
that's right.
So you are all from Dublin.
We're like 5 minutes. We grew up 5 minutes down the road from each other, but didn't properly meet until the Drama Society in university. Yeah.
And what were you all separately doing in UCD?
Oh, yeah, I was doing architecture.
Oh, I did genetics.
Cleverer.
I did civil engineering.
Oh,
yeah.
Kind of in between there.
In between, but with a cleverer voice.
Yeah, so really smart. And lots of maths going on there. Is that
I don't know. Architecture could have just left it to the engineers, I think, pretty much. You know.
Yeah, you might be the only mathsy one, Hogg. Mine was...
Well, there's a reason I ended up being a clown, because I wasn't any good at it. Yeah.
Did you finish the degrees?
I finished it, but I didn't finish any bridges, thank God.
Yeah. And obviously, it was the crash. There was no hope, really, for architecture engineers.
Oh, genetics. Yeah, it was amazingly convenient, because all my friends from architecture were going off Hong Kong, London, the States. And I was like, look, Mum, I can go away to one of these far-flung places, not come home for years and years, or I can live at home until I'm way too old and do comedy. So she went with that. Yeah. She was okay to go with it.
You were ahead of everyone. I mean, that was about 15 years ahead of the unfortunate trend.
I do remember my mother, it was the day I'd finished my degree, I finished my exams, and I said, "Oh, look, I've gotten a job." She's like, "Oh, this is fantastic! You know, you got a job." I was like, "Yeah, can you drop me into town?" And she was like, "Yeah, I'm going in later. Of course, I will." And what's the job? And I was like, "Oh, I'll tell you on the way." And on the way, she was like, "Oh," I was like, "It's in Temple Bar." She's like, "What are you doing in Temple Bar?" And I was like, "I'm holding a sign." And I was holding a sign for 2 hours that said comedy this way. Yeah. And I was getting 5 minutes stage time for it, right? And she was just like, she told me later, I cried my eyes out on the way home. My own son finished 4 years of genetics and he's holding a sign in Temple Bar.
Jesus.
It was so funny. And I was like, I thought it was amazing. I was like, getting 5 minutes in front of, they had to listen to me for 5 minutes. Bargain.
Well, the country did stop spending on genetics, it seems, during the crash as well. Yeah, along with the N20.
We're still still struggling with that now.
So you literally went into an office. Is it in an industrial estate somewhere in Dublin and started making sketches together?
We built up to that. We've been gigging kind of like the circuit, not doing any videos online for a few years. And then we were like, right, why don't we just try this video thing? See, yeah. This is before the video thing was cool.
YouTube was only about 3 years old.
It's terrible, isn't it? But basically, we were filming all the stuff in the family homes. So, you know, it was untenable. We were actually kicking our parents out of their own houses so that we could film for a few hours and trash the place.
I definitely pulled out. Do you remember I pulled out the VCR on your dad?
Yes, he was fuming. Yeah. The masters. He was trying to tape the masters or something like that. And he came home. Just ashen cold face.
Yeah, I'd moved all the stuff out of the way.
We needed a plug to plug in the camera and you unplugged the VCR. Yeah,
and I just remember, you know, you still get that fear, you know, someone else's parent. You're in someone else's house and their parents get annoyed at you. Yeah. It brings you right back to when you were five or something and you've broken something. Oh, God.
But we decided we're going to get this office. So we got the KCR Industrial Estate. Our office doesn't exist anymore. They knocked it to build a family home, but it was beautiful when it was there. And we had so little dough. I mean, Jonathan, the landlord, was so funny. He was really nice to us. He knew that we were struggling. And he'd come around, just chasing checks, lads, chasing checks. Like, we didn't have a checkbook. And we just performed at the Street Performance World Championships. Do you remember this one, right? Yeah. So we did the Street Performance World Championships.
Where was that?
It was in Merrion Square. That's where we were. So people would throw money in, like, you know, the hat at the front or whatever. And we went back to the office. That was all the money we had. So we had to pay our rent in 20 cents and 50 cents and all this broken money. And Jonathan was like, lads.
He still brings it up. I saw him like about a few weeks ago. Jeez, I heard you play Carnegie Hall. It's a long way away from paying for rent with pennies. And I was like, oh yeah, cheers, Jonathan.
The pennies and the hat which you had to hand over as well, probably worth a
euro.
But you're still in an office. Have you moved a couple of times? Or
we're in transit. We're on the way to our office number 3. We just got kicked out of office number 2. Oh. Office number 2. Oh. It was beautiful. It was out in Ballymount.
Very sad about
it. Pretty sad about it. We fell over. So, okay, the office itself is hideous, I guess. It was out in, Ballymount Industrial Estate. So you're just looking around and it's pretty grim. But it was in a small part of a warehouse just on the side. But the warehouse was props. So you know the way, like, I don't know, some big company are having an event in the Ivy Gardens or whatever, they'll supply the props. Right. If you're having a company party, they'll say, if RT are doing something, they'll provide all the props.
Go away.
So they had everything. You needed a Roman statue, they had it. And you just, within 2 seconds, go down and get it.
Yeah, it was like the Room of Requirement in Harry Potter. There it was. Yeah. Giant tulip, here you go.
You were just writing sketches based on things you'd seen as you walked
through. Yeah, totally. It was amazing. So that's all gone. So
I was wondering where all the props and set as well comes in the corners of houses and pubs and things.
Oh man, it was so handy.
So if anyone has an office to rent
with corporate props right beside it, let us know.
I was about to say, I hope it's being torn down and turned into a family home, but it's Ballymount. There are no...
No, it's
no,
not.
You wouldn't this want to live there too much. No.
Nobody is living there apart from people who just work around the clock, which turns out to be you, as it is. How do you... Is there a moment where this becomes massive for you? Do you remember the moment or have you just been steadily working really hard and we're going, oh, look at them, they've got a million point one followers?
I would say... Oliver, I think actually, I don't know if it's ever been massive. It's just been pretty gradual. Do you know, over the years, for about 15 years, it's just slowly increased. But there was definitely a moment at the Edinburgh Fringe, I think, one year where we'd done some sketch on Brexit and, you know, just put it out. I think it was actually a redo of a previous sketch we'd done years ago that just didn't have a great set. And then suddenly we were filling these rooms in Edinburgh, at the Edinburgh Fringe, with all these older people from England and Scotland. Going, you know, we saw your Brexit sketch. We came to see your comedy show, which obviously the actual show is not political at all. Complete nonsense. Yeah, yeah. But the audience, but they stayed, you know, they enjoyed it, whatever, they came year after year, so that kind
charming.
Of charming. Remind me of my sons.
Three Irish lads nipping around. Look at them go.
But you're very grateful for that audience.
Oh my god, absolutely. Yeah. We had the other watershed, I think, was the recent one, which was the, you know, you mentioned it in the intro. We
got Vegetables throw a party.
We had Carnegie Hall was like the gig, obviously, in New York. We had a couple of months ago now. And like the families came over for it. So we had all our parents in the crowd. Had our parents ever all at the same time been at a show ever?
No, that was our graduation. So. That was our comedy graduation.
Yeah, it really was. And it felt like it. And that was really nice. That was cool. And they sat, you know, and then after, you know, we took them backstage into the green room, across to a bar for drinks. And all, it was like, you know what? It's pretty cool. I think then they looked at us and they were like, 15 years of toil. I was like, well done. A long way from holding a sign in Temple Bar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, my mum did still say a couple of weeks ago, right, so is, would that be it now?
I was like, what are you talking about?
Are you sticking with it?
Are you sticking with it? Of course you're sticking with it.
Okay.
You've done Carnegie Hall now. You've had enough.
You've had enough.
You've become an architect.
Couldn't believe it.
Never trick for an entire career.
Yeah.
Doesn't suit you.
And your mum still cried the whole way home anyway.
Yeah. Because it's Carnegie Hall. I can't believe it.
And hopefully he goes and studies genetics properly now, but AI's replaced you there.
Yes.
As it might do in Skit. I presume lockdowns and all that malarkey was pretty massive, wasn't it? It was big for comedy and anyone who kept at it.
Good for us.
We were so lucky. I mean, if we could have a pandemic every few years. It was great for us because we were like, a lot of comedians came to online sketches during lockdown and tried to build an audience, but we had one ready to go.
There already, yeah.
So it was, I mean, it was tough, but it was great to be able to have the videos and have an audience for them. And
yeah, you had something universal to talk about the whole time. So there was just so many new, fresh topics that we could do new, fresh sketches about.
Yeah, everyone was watching the same news. Mm. You know, that never happens.
Yeah, TV weren't producing anything. Netflix weren't producing anything. Yeah. We were producing something new and it won us an awful lot of followers.
It was a very hungry audience for content.
Now I started to worry there recently. I was like, oh no, do we remind people of COVID? Do you know? Like, they're like, you know, like, oh, go to see Foyle. I was like, no, that was a different time. You know, like we wore a mask. I'm not into that, you know. Yeah.
We were one of the first people back, I think, in Vicar Street when they opened everything up again, I think.
They half opened it. They could do a half capacity show in Vicar Street for 500 people.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I was so jealous. So at the start of our show, Oliver, what happens is Foyle comes out by himself and he does a hello and then he introduces the two of us, right? But he comes out by himself to the first show in 2 years and he gets this like 5 minute standing ovation, right? Where me and Hogg are just sitting in the crowd getting none of this dopamine that I was promised.
It was an amazing
and he's just there cheering, waving. Like, to be fair to him, he can't actually get the words out to introduce us, so it's not technically his fault. But I'm still like, oh, come on.
It was astonishing. It was all the filters of emotion.
I'm just happy to be outside.
That's what it was. It was everyone in that room. It was only half full Vicar Street, but it's the loudest I've ever heard it, even like with the full Vicar Streets. And there was just so much pent up emotion and everything from all those years of being locked away. And then they were at a show and I got to receive it. And it was, I started to cry. I was like, oh my God, what's going on?
I think people, being in an audience, I remember the first gig after lockdown. And it's still probably, it feels like the best gig of all time.
Oh, yeah,
it was
Fontaine's
DC, I remember, in Ivy Gardens.
Oh, that was a good one to go
and
to.
Everyone's just almost hugging and crying, going, yeah, this is amazing. Going, is it because of the thing or is it because it's a good show? We will never know. some people may not know where the names come from. Hogg, do you want to take this one since you've got the nastiest of the three names?
Yes, absolutely. I was christened the nastiest of them all. Well, Foyle here got boring basically because he's the Foyle. He's the straight man to every sketch. And then Arms here couldn't play the straight man in any sketch, as he was all arms and legs, or we call him Arms. And then they couldn't think of a name for me for ages, so they were like, God, he's so good at acting, he's so good in the sketches.
I don't think I'm
such a great writer.
What do you do?
So handsome. Yeah. God, he can bench, I think, 80 to 90
men
kilogram.
Want to be him, women want to be with him.
And he hogs the limelight then, basically. And then that it stuck. And they were like, "Hey, we've got a name. We have a name. We have a name that sounds like an old English lawyer's office."
Well, I was
Nog.
Yeah.
And company.
We should have consulted a marketing expert. It's one of the worst names, probably. It's so difficult to remember.
Difficult.
We hope it's like Leonard Skinner, where it eventually sticks. But like, when we did the comedy circuit, the reason we have this like symbol on stage, like a gong that we hit at the end of the sketches, but we hung a banner off it with our name because we were so sick of MCs panicking when they had to bring us on. And what they would do is they would forget the name, so they go, "Ladies and gentlemen," and then they just mumble, "Let them on stage."
Yes, they'd always remember the hog.
Yeah, they would. Yeah,
yeah. Did you get this kind of self confidence from? You went to acting school with Andrew Scott. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he taught me. He tutored me, and then he chaperoned me on a few film sets.
Really?
Yeah. So he babysat me on movies when I was like a child actor. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What movies?
Sweeney Todd.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I got to stab Ben Kingsley in the back with a knife.
Is that Sweeney Todd? Not the musical, the Johnny Depp one?
No, not the Johnny Depp. No, unfortunately, not the Johnny Depp one. No, the one that was another one. Saw with Ben Kingsley.
Oh right, yeah, wonderful.
Straight to DVD. It was awful.
Straight to VHS, right?
But you have been in a couple of things, haven't you? That we have heard of.
Yeah, seen. Maybe at the Boxer and
the Boxer.
Yeah.
Good Moon Boy, didn't you? Was it Moon Boy?
No.
Oh, sorry. No. Well, whoever was very good in that.
I was in some terrible movies as a kid.
The Clinic, I presume.
The Clinic. Yeah, that was the era. That was good, yeah.
The Tudors as well.
I had a nice chunky role. Like, yeah, oh, I got to spill tea all over Jonathan Rhys-Meyers and die on him. Yeah, I was like a plague victim and I died on top of him.
It is funny because every so often an email come in going, is that Hogg in the Tudors? Someone rewatching us at years yeah, old. Like, it couldn't be, could it?
Kind of unmistakable. Yeah, really. Yeah.
What about what about the one that I was getting you to watch? So I met Hogg in college, and yeah. I was like, oh, someone goes, you have to check out, you know, Hogg's, I wouldn't call him Hogg at the time, Sean Flanagan's, you know, IMDb, you know, it's crazy. And I was like, what? The funny guy? Yeah, God, he's been in loads of movies. So I checked it out, right? And I go to him, geez, fair play in the movies. And he's like, what? He actually didn't know what I was talking about. And I was like, you were in movies. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, what are you? I was like, oh, well, have you seen them? He goes, one or two of them. I was like, you've never seen the movies you're in. This blew my mind. I felt, from my point of view, if I'd ever been in a movie, I would be like playing it to strangers on the bus. And so I found one. I can't remember which one it was, but I showed it to him. I was like, oh, this one, have you ever seen this one? I loved it. I've recently read the book. It's a Dickens one, maybe, right?
David Copperfield.
Yeah, David Copperfield. So I go, have you ever seen it? He goes, so I shamed him into buying it and watching it, right?
And then I'll
let you take over from here, Hogg.
So I watched it then. I was like, oh, put on. Oh, yeah, here's that scene, yeah, with Michael Richards and all, he's in it. And then I see me, and it's not my voice. They'd overdubbed me because I couldn't get the accent right. I obviously couldn't get the Cockney accent right.
What?
So they'd use a different dude and never told me. I'm like,
additional dialogue recording. Someone's got to crack.
So I totally destroyed this memory for him. And like, because he comes to the next area. Well, you know, it's not our, whenever he gets it, it's like, it wasn't even my voice. It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I remember now the director going, you did it better in the audition. You know, which is like the death knell.
It was awful.
How he survived this is something else. Yeah. But then the Dolly Parton bus happens.
Oh yeah,
that was so cool.
That was pretty. That was kind of showbiz until it wasn't.
Just for the context for people is you get to tour all around the continent, which is unusual for Irish comedians. That they love you in places like Germany, Denmark.
Germany and Denmark. Yeah, we like the European tour is growing faster than anywhere. That all we're just doing more and more gigs. And
I think Amsterdam is our David Hasselhoff area, though, right? we're just unusually popular there.
Yeah.
We got a very big in Amsterdam. There.
But then it was like, so a couple of years ago, just whatever way they routed the tour, it made sense to get a bus. We never had a tour bus before, so we were very excited because it sounds so cool. And then it pulled up and it looked amazing. And the guy was like, lads, just let you know, a little special sprinkle on top for you guys, the first one. This tour bus was used by Dolly Parton when she toured Europe and she designed it herself.
Wow.
And we were like, what?
Yeah.
So cool. So excited until we got on the bus.
Yeah, so we get on the bus and we're like, it looks really nice. It's like, it was kind of old fashioned stereo system, but it's still really kind of vintage and cool finishes and everything. Oh, this is nice. There's an area to sit and you can, little TV, whatever like that.
Lots of rhinestones.
Rhinestones
everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and mirrors in the shapes of the guitars.
Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
It was quite rock and roll. It definitely looked like it was from the past, shall we say. And so then we go through to the I was like, oh, this is where you're going to sleep. So I open it up and there's like, it was shelves. So I was like, oh, what are the shelves for? And I'm like, no, that's where you sleep. They're the bunks.
For people.
And I was like,
the shelves were the
four on top.
Yeah,
four bunks.
Four bunk beds.
Yeah, four bunk beds. And the one at the bottom is like steerage in the Titanic. Like that's, but without the dancing and the crack, like just being sloshed around. And then so I immediately, big lanky fella I am, as I really went to the absolute top. I was like, oh, whatever. And then we discovered, right, there was a door kind of, was actually halfway down the bus.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, there must be more beds behind here.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't. We opened that door and there was Hogg.
Well, there was one bed, one giant bed.
This is Dolly's quarters.
Dolly's bed was right there with also a bathtub.
On a bus.
An ornate bathtub.
This is amazing.
Yeah. King size bed and a bathtub.
Oh, but of course, the problem is there are three men in this.
Yeah, you're getting it.
Unfortunately. So, what?
Who,
so how did you decide who?
We did rock, paper, scissors for the thing.
Actually?
And Hogg got it, you know, is the.
I hogged the bed.
For the first night. Do you not do that for the entire tour?
Well, that's changing sheets, and the sheets from our sardine tin weren't going to fit on his joint king size duvet.
Well, it was a fair rock, paper, scissors. Yeah. But then they got me back, you see.
We did. We were quite annoyed about it.
We're early risers, you see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hog is more of an night owl, but so we used to in the morning.
Yeah, we took advantage of the sound system, beautiful sound system.
Goes all the way through.
And what do you think? At 9 o'clock in the morning, right on the button, when he's still fast asleep from his late night gig, it's Dolly Parton's Bus. What do you play? Out loud, 9 to 5, as loud as you can.
That will do it. Yeah. That will absolutely do it. But was it a fantastic quarters, the Dolly Wing?
Yeah, it was great. I did run the bath after the show, but then I started running it half full, and I didn't realise the bus would be travelling at night. So the bus took off, and the water starts sloshing backwards and forwards. Like, stop the bus. There's water everywhere.
But it also was like, it's a limited water tank. So I got up to go to the Jacks in the middle of the night, and there was no water. I was like, the effing bat.
The water for the Jacks is the same as the bat. Well, okay. Well, since we're dropping celebrity names, you do have fans in the celebrity world. Blackadder himself, Rowan Atkinson, came to the gigs, didn't he?
Yeah, to show.
In Edinburgh.
We just thought he was a dude who looked like Mr. Bean. I planned on not making fun of him, but like, going, hey, look at this guy. He looks exactly like Mr. Bean.
I am Mr. Bean. Yeah.
Yeah,
you
sure,
wish.
Bud. Yeah.
Yeah, we found out later, a bit like the name we talked about earlier not being good. He had just been told to go and see the Three Irish Boys at this venue,
right, yeah.
So he didn't know the name of us at all, so went to the box office for telling us after. He just came up and said, Three Irish Boys. That was it. That's what he got in.
But he came in and he spoke to you afterwards. We just say hello.
We could have say hello there. We thank everybody as they leave the room.
He's a master of physical comedy. He must have loved your act.
I hope so. He said he enjoyed it.
I was delighted that I didn't know that he was in, otherwise I would have directed the entire show towards him. I would have turned my back on the rest of the audience.
You would have been checking your IMDb to see, was that a film with Rowan Atkinson before this? That would give some messages to you. Can you ask? You can ask, is that hog in the home store and more radio ads? Rob in a happy home.
No. I'm on the Dairy Gold one. I'm not on the home store and more one, no. I don't think so, no.
When those beds are gone, they're gone. I don't know if that's it.
They will do it if you want.
Is it true that even when you're doing separate things, like obviously the McDonald's curry ad, which has haunted you forever?
Yes.
They got great value out of that.
The only place I ever get recognised for that is in Chippers by the people, staff behind the counter.
Staff, because they're watching.
Yeah, so I went in after a few points one night. Seriously, it's the only place. And I tell a lie, there's one more place. But I went in and I said, I'll get a bag of chips. And then it came with a bag of chips and some curry sauce. And I was like, I didn't order that. And I looked up and they're all laughing.
The other
place was the airport, where a fella in Dublin Airport searched my entire bag. And it took like 15 minutes. And he said, just want to make sure there was no curry sauce in there. Like the whole thing. Delay me for my flight just for the gag. I actually had to applaud.
That's pretty good.
I love that. That is fantastic. But the point I was making is you share revenue from separate projects that you might be doing without the other two. Very generous.
Pull it all in. The same pot, yeah.
Yeah, we decided early on, we were like, the key to this is longevity. And then we looked at all the other sketch groups. And there's been quite a few. Not so much in Ireland, but a lot across the UK, they all just go their separate ways usually because someone gets some other job.
I've been a fan of the lads since discovering the sketches online after my trip to Ireland, and I've loved them ever since. I will see them live on the next trip to Ireland. That's from Winnie Shen, a listener in Taipei, Taiwan.
No way.
What? You were sounding surprised, but you know the fads are all over the world anyway at this.
Yeah, that's
still
true.
Surprising.
Taipei is a good one, though. I'll take that.
Yeah. I have a son in Perth who we sent him tickets for them in June just to remind him of his mother.
You'll go to that now and you'll enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
That's Australia is part of the. It is.
It's June. That
yeah.
Yeah. Nice, yeah, that's a couple of weeks we're off. Yeah.
You're in America and Canada at the end of the year, and then you're selling shows for next year already. It's extraordinary. Vicar Street. This month, you've already done a couple of nights.
22nd, 23rd.
That's next week.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, it is. Yeah. A couple extra shows there.
Make sure you do that. One of the favourite sketches is the first day of the Irish summer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Is there any chance at all we could.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Well, we'll give it our best
shot. This is live, performed live on the radio for the first time.
Oh, the pressure. Okay, this is Garda headquarters on the first day of summer.
Perfect.
Commander.
What is it, Sergeant?
This just in from the weather office.
Dear God,
It's not.
Yes, sir. Clear skies, sunshine, the first hot day of the year.
This is it, gentlemen. This is what we train for.
Move it, move it, move it.
Should we double the patrol numbers?
Quadruple them.
Quadruple them?
Half of those patrollers are going to call in sick, along with every other worker in this country.
On it.
There's going to be a run on the banks.
The cash machines.
River banks, canal banks, anywhere there's an open body of water, people can sit with a can in their hand.
The city's going to be overwhelmed with people out drinking on the streets.
Public urination will be at an all-time high.
Issue a yellow warning.
Yes,
and
sir.
And tell units to tread carefully.
I want a man on every rooftop.
Yes.
Bar.
Right. Should we focus all our efforts there?
No, the garden centres. They're going to be swamped. Angry mobs waiting in line holding shovels and pitchforks.
The lawnmower repair shops will be overrun with desperate people.
Ah, they've been waiting in the long grass for a dry day.
We should let the hospitals know the emergency departments are going to be overrun.
Middle-aged men meeting up to play football for the first time in nearly a year.
We should prep the burn wards.
The sunburn?
No. Irish people trying to use a barbecue.
The sick calls have already started coming in, sir.
That's it. Call on the reserves.
The army?
No, the dairy reserves.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Whippy's going to need all the help he can get. I want checkpoints posted at all the local parks.
What are we looking for, sir?
Knobs with guitars.
What about the roads?
Be extra vigilant for joyriders.
Car theft?
No, people aimlessly driving their convertible around with the top down to justify the purchase. Get me the Justice Department. I need to speak with the minister.
She's called in sick, sir.
Oh, it's starting already, goddammit.
There's rumours of Irish people looking sexy on a beach.
We need to stop the spread of disinformation.
What else can we do, Commander?
All we can do now is pray for rain.
I think we might be able to tip off early ourselves today.
Well, I don't see why not. It's a beautiful day, you know.
Beautiful out.
Go out and enjoy it.
Canned applause. Yes. Yes. I can't do it on my
own. Take any applause.
Foyle Arms and Hogg are doing their endless world tour everywhere all the time at once. Where's the easiest place to go now? Foylearmsandhogg.com on your Instagram, which is half a million
people. Yeah, foylearmsandhogg.ie.
1.1 million subscribers on YouTube. We've done it all now.
Done it all, thanks.
All you need to do is do the thing at the end and we're done here.
It
doom-da.